We're going to begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a couple of songs. You may have noticed the church building on the front of a little order of service. You're more than welcome to take those home and keep them as a little souvenir. If you're wondering how the picture was taken, just look down to the bottom right of that and you'll see three Egypts operating a drone. I'm one of them. It's the dad of the fella in the top left-hand corner there. He's the one who owned the drone and other unnamed people. But we're very glad to have it. Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for life and health and strength. And just thank you, Father, for the lovely weather, for each soul that's here today. And I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time aside from the world, Lord. And, spend it thinking about you and, Lord, and what you're thinking about us. Please bless our time together. I pray for your good hand upon the songs, upon the reading of the Bible, the wee message, and of course the food and the fellowship after. We love you and praise you, Lord, and just thank you for loving us and for your good hand upon us and all that you've seen us through. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Right. Let's take your little order of services. And if you want to open them up, the first one we're going to sing this evening is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Chair.
Stephen's reading is from the book of Mark, sorry, book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Change my mind there for a second. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded in death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, either indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies for his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the spirit, first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom we did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Some good verses there, well worth remembering. Gotta keep a hold of those orders of service. They run like the devil whenever you let go of them. I don't remind that. Amen. Let's take our order of service, if you would, and go to the next one that says immortal, invisible, God only wise. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. And if you're fit and able, stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated as long as you make a joyful noise.
Amen.
rest your hands for a minute, you can set your orders of service down. I would like to just welcome everybody that's here this evening. I am always happy to see new faces and old faces too, but I wouldn't say old faces, I mean more experienced faces. However, if it wasn't for those more experienced faces, we'd all be in a tin roof shack right now, and we wouldn't be opening the doors for a draft because we would have those built in. But I want to thank you all for coming, and I, by all accounts, and as I found out, this actually I think made it onto Facebook, into the newsletter, and probably a few other places. I am glad you saw it somewhere, or maybe you got a text from me. I'm very glad to have you here. I have got a bit of a Barry McGuigan speech. Does anyone remember Barry McGuigan?
Yeah.
And Mr.
Eastwood.
No. So, I would like to thank my mummy and my daddy and Mr. Eastwood. And there's going to be a little bit of that. And I am more than happy. I'm not normally one for naming people. My philosophy is I am determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. But there's a few names that need mentioning tonight. In the middle of everything else, it's a little bit like finding raisins in your soup. There's just a little bit of extra flavour, and I hope it will be tonight. I've only got one verse that I would like to read. Normally, if you're here any length of time at all, it could be another chapter. But I've only one verse, and that is from Romans 1 and 20. And it says, "For the invisible things of Him," that's God, "are clearly seen through the creation of the world, being understood by those things that are made," that's us, "even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In other words, by looking around you, you can know there is a God. I tried like mad to think of verses that had to do with buildings. I'm sure you could probably think of one or two out of the Bible. Everybody remembers the house built in the rock and the house built in the sand. The building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and eventually the temple, the big synagogues. But it's not about the church. It's not about Bethel Baptist Church, even though it is. The grand scheme of things is about, it's about God. It's about bringing glory to Him and pointing souls in His direction. If you haven't been here for a while, you might have noticed there's been a few changes. Yes. It's taken a while. It took about 9 months overall. But we took a wee break around Christmas, about a month and a half, because the weather was just that awful, and it was quite cold. Even though, I think at the end of January, we were sitting in having a cup of tea with all the doors wide open anyway, and that didn't really bother us. But it's good to see it done, and I am sure the folks in the church are glad to have it done too, because we had church out in the hallway at one point. We had church in here with all the windows blacked out up for a month or so. And it's nice to have everything just the way it is, so that the only work, I was going to say the only work that I have to do is to cut the grass and pull a few weeds. But I have Andy here who reminded me of something that Norman mentioned a while back and said, you still have to dig the drains for all the downpipes. So that's another job. Thank you for that, gentlemen. But for by all that, a little bit of history. I learned a lot. We took possession of this portion of land just about, just under a year ago, about 7 or 8 months ago. And I found out that there has been a church hall here for 110 years. Now that's nothing in the grand scheme of churches. We would still only be a wee fella maybe just learning to shave if we were comparing ourselves to the grand churches in town, the big old stone buildings. But I can guarantee it's a lot older than any of us are here tonight, and it stretches back well beyond our own memories. 100 years. It's a long time. And as a result of such, someone as fresh-faced as me, I couldn't just tell you what the history of it was, I had to actually go looking for the history. Now, Pearl's here tonight. That's Pearl. And Pearl attended this church back in its formative days, which was a little bit of time before I got here. And one of our other founder members, Billy McMorris, everyone remembers Brother Billy, used to come in with a bag full of sweets and the kids loved him. He told me a few tales about this church as it was being taken over and then being built. Because I didn't know. This church was originally started by Ebrington Church. You know Ebrington down at the end of the Lima Valley Road. And it was designed specifically for folks in this neck of the woods, so they didn't have to walk the whole way into town, but they had somewhere that they could gather together and the gospel could be preached. And it went like that for decades. And you're talking about the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s, and even the 1950s. But there came a time when, well, things changed and people changed. The world changed. And the tents at the wee church dropped off and the key was put in the door. Until an American missionary by the name of Don Randall came in and rented the place for the magnificent sum of £5 a year and started the church. This is not the church that he started. It's not even the size of the church or the shape of the church. The church that he started was a little timber frame shack with a flat roof, and it had a little wood burning stove in the middle, and if you wanted any heat in the winter, you had to pray that the pastor got up in time and got down to the church and lit a fire on it. And it went like that for a year or two until I think there was a hole found in one of the walls. As you might know, that's nothing new. That's one of the reasons we're here tonight. And so he went to do the work in the church. And he got his tools and stuff and he knocked a bit of the wall down. And I think he must have been a bit too fervent in his execution of his duties. And the roof came down as well. And then, did anyone ever watch any Laurel and Hardy or Charlie Chaplin? But I can pretty much tell you it was a bit like that. And the wall came down and the roof and then the other walls folded in. So then he had to come up with this. This bit here, the bit that we're in tonight, was the bit that he built. And that was about 40 years, give or take, ago. And he put a lot of effort into it. We saw most of it whenever we were redoing it again. But before that, there was, I have to get all the names right, there was Don Randall, Mr. Sandlin, a Lawrence Smith, and a Matt Hall and family, because Don Randall actually spent a bit of time in China before coming back here. And on one occasion, the church did shut its doors and shifted premises, but whenever it came back, it landed back here again with a whole bunch of new faces. And all that time, the church has served the local community. And there's many a person whose doors that we have knocked upon said, is that the place that used to have the American guy, the ex-Marine, driving the bus around to pick up the children? He said, that's right. He said, I remember going there. And there's even one or two that remember going here whenever it was Ebrington Presbyterian. That's some of the more mature folks in the community. But since then, I've been here about 23 years, 25 years. 26 years. Thank goodness my wife. She's only been here about 15 years, but she remembers everything that took place before she was here. I made sure to write it all down for her so that she would remember it when I didn't. And all that time, the church has been reaching out to the local community, and we have had bunches of stuff going. We have some of the young people here that remember the Bible clubs, and then I think we got tired of driving them back and forward, so we pitched tents in the back. And we had residential Bible clubs. And there was one wee fella who came from Newton Arch. What do you call him? Your wee friend from many moons ago. Can't remember.
Sebastian
Seb, that's right. He came down for one visit. And on about the Thursday or Friday, he said, Mark, well, two things he said. He said, I know a song with your name on it. I said, that's impossible. And he says, I do. I says, well, go and sing it. And he said, happy birthday. So that's the sort of person he was. He said to me, are we going to do anything? Are we going anywhere else? He said, what do you mean? He says, we've been here all week. I said, are you bored? He said, no. I said, well, there you go. We're here for the rest of the week. And the kids used to love it. He did used to love it, didn't he, guys? Just check. But on top of that, there's been dinners and suppers. There's been teas. There's been Christmas dinners. And there has been, up until about 2.5 years ago, a constant outreach into everywhere around and about. The town's been tracked about 4 or 5 times just by us, and I know other churches have done it as well. Derry's been well served. Strathfoyle, Maydown, Eglinton, Drumahoe, all well served by this church, not just by Bethel, but before it was Bethel as well. And of course we have our regular Sunday services as well. And the place, compared to what it used to do, we loved it. I think we loved it for its character, but now I love it because it just looks really, really good. It looks nice when you walk in, it still has that new church smell, like that new car smell. But I want to mention another name, and that's Norman Wilson. That's the guy, he's trying to look, his face will probably go a wee bit red and he'll look a bit embarrassed, but put your hand up, Norman. There you go. Norman is a perfectionist, a bit like another man I know, Stephen. Norman got the church looking well, but Stephen has kept the grass and the hedges looking well. He probably took pity on me whenever I cut the hedges at the weekend. And he says, I can't let the church have an open night with the hedges looking like that. And he spent the day and probably a bit of yesterday trimming the hedges. And thank you, Stephen. But not only that, whenever I was ill about 2.5 years ago, he kept the grass cut for me too. And I really do thank you for that, Steve. But Norman is the driving force behind everything that you see here tonight. Between the blue walls, between the new floors, between the... That used to be mock panelling, but now it's real panelling. Between all of that, the lights, the bathrooms, the new walls on the outside is down to Norman. Because about 2 years ago, I said, Norman, you're going to have to patch a couple of holes and paint the walls. It should take about 2 weeks. And I think Norman just shook his head. And he probably looked at me and thought, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And in all honesty, I didn't. And I'm thankful for him. Because if it wasn't for him, this place wouldn't look as well as it does now, and it wouldn't have had the much needed work done on it that it has had done. The floors, the walls, inside and out, the roof, the lights, the electrics, the heaters even up on the wall, the insulation, the water, the bathrooms, the entryway are all down to Norman saying, we're going to do this right. That was a phrase that turned up quite a lot. There was a lot of work done. And I'm not here to pat myself in the back, not by any stretch of the imagination. Or Norman, even though he's getting a wee bit of a pat. But I want to give you an idea of the work that was done. We started on the outside at the back of the church. And we noticed a few soft spots. And so we started pulling them off. And then we noticed a few rotten beams. Then those had to be replaced. And in all honesty, we did it the Irish way. We replaced the walls and kept the roof up. So we had to do it at about 2 sheets at a time. There was a lot of work. It's very difficult to keep one hand holding the roof up and using another hand. We didn't do that now, but it felt like an episode of Laurel and Hardy sometimes. The We pulled the ply off. We replaced rotten boards and beams. We replaced insulation. We put on new insulation. That's just on the wooden bit. And we were looking at, this was just about the time when the prices of everything was going through the roof. And was it Mark Donkey said about checking architectural salvage? Place up in Campsie, I'll give them a shameless plug. If you're ever looking for building materials, stop in there first. But we found those sheets of steel on the walls and they sold them to us for £5 each. If we had gone to buy them as new, it would have been £50+ each. So we saved a fortune and I thank God for that. But nothing would do me but that I would scourge Amazon for sheets of what I call technical materials, with a damp-proof course on one side and a thermal layer on the other side. And so there's now a sheet of steel, a sheet of plasterboard, a sheet of this thermal stuff. There's 4 inches of insulation, and then there's another sheet of plasterboard and another sheet of plasterboard between you and the outside to keep you warm in the cold weather and cool in the warm weather, which I hope you want. That was the wall. And some of them even had to be replaced. Whenever we got to the outside finished, we all breathed a sigh of relief, and then Norman said those immortal words, "Let's get stuck onto the inside." I thought, oh no. So we started outside. We pulled up lino. We pulled up carpet. We pulled out an SDS drill and broke off tiles. We tore down the old boards and put up, there was a brand, whole new wall behind that young man at the back. Every piece of wall has been replaced, that on the outside. We drilled holes in beams for water and electricity. We drilled holes in walls for sink exhausts and back there a toilet exhaust. And then we covered everything up so that we never have to look at it again, at least I hope we don't. It was a lot of work went into it. And then after that, there was plasterboard, plaster, sanding, and many, many coats of paint. If anyone's looking for painting done, Norman will tell you, I am not the man to do it, because I just found out after 35 years of painting, I've been doing it wrong. And then we did the same in here. And the Joe public will never ever know what goes through the walls, up the walls, what went into the walls. There is just a tremendous amount of work. And the reason I say this, because I tip my hat to anybody that does that work and are never appreciated for what they do. It is a tremendous amount of work. But the church is better. It's more heat efficient, it's warmer, it's cooler, it looks nicer. And I'm glad of it. That's the walls and the inside. But we had to do the roof as well. Because there was a couple of times, and you may notice them in the back, there's a couple of wee stains in some of the tiles where water got in. And it was the same up on the roof. Norman said, if you don't get that roof fixed, Bethel will be carrying out their first funeral in their new building. Because he would have killed me. To have a water stain running down his newly plastered and painted walls. And so we had to go up. I had to go up onto the roof. Spent 2 days. We went that way and then started up there and went that way with a pair of pliers and pulled out every single nail that was holding that roof onto the wooden frame. And every single nail had to be replaced with a slightly bigger self-tapping hex bolt, and they're beautiful. I recommend them if you're ever working with metal. So because a lot of the nails, because there have been decades since that roof went up, a lot of the nails had rusted and the water was getting in. Some of them just popped straight out. And sometimes the wind had vibrated the panels and lifted some of them out, but they're all replaced. And water doesn't come in anymore through those little holes. You've seen the ramp replaced. We had some interesting things going on there. I don't ever remember scaffold surfing. It's not a fun or safe activity. I was standing on the scaffolding and it was sitting at an angle and it's collapsed in on itself and I came down nearly on top of Norman. But don't do that. But as you go around the place, you will see little bits here and there, and especially in the bathrooms, that have nothing connected to them, because we future-proofed it. We made it good for the future whenever we get maybe an electrical water heater or something along that lines. Now, one other thing, and as a tipping of a cap to another culture, we also, in the vein of the ancient Egyptians, who liked to bury things that they were going to need in the next life, buried many tools in the walls as well. Norman lost a perfectly good Stanley blade, the professional one. I think I've lost at least one flashlight and a hammer, which never appeared again. And it could be somewhere on the roof in the dark, which is just impossible to see. But there's at least one or two tools, screwdrivers and things, that have been entombed in the walls. We thought, we're not going to take that stuff off again to find it. Definitely not. So that's my nod to other cultures. Now, like I said at the start, I'm sure you could probably think of a Bible verse or two that would encompass the work that's been done. You could maybe talk about Noah and the ark, because he had a great edifice to build. He built the ark. And God said, make sure it's waterproof inside and out, so that the elements don't affect it, and neither do you. So waterproof it inside and out. And it took a bit of time to build that. And whenever the time came, Noah and his family went in and they were safe from the flood. You could use that analogy. Or you could use the one from Matthew 7, where the Lord said, if anyone listens to what I say, as far as I'm concerned, they'll be like a man that built his house on a rock. Good solid foundation that wouldn't shake whenever the elements hit it. And of course, you know, he said that anyone that doesn't listen would be like a man that built his house in the sand. And it would only take a little bit of something to knock it flat in its face, and everything that he has will go the way of the dodo. Or you could talk about the verses in John 10 where Jesus said to the people that were listening, he says, look, I have you in the palm of my hand. When I save you, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand. Nobody will pluck you out. And in the next verse he says, and my Father, which is greater than all, he'll keep you in the palm of his hand, and nobody can pluck you out. And he said, it gets even better, he said in the book of Ephesians, he says, the Holy Spirit will see you on the inside. If you look in there, and that was God looking at you, the Holy Spirit will see you on the inside till the day of your redemption. Waterproof, inside and out. The truth is, if you never saw the old, you wouldn't appreciate the new. You wouldn't. You wouldn't appreciate the skill, perseverance, the plans, the attendance, the tools, the willingness and the sacrifice that went into doing this. And that is very much, very, very much a similar story to what God has done for everybody in the world, for anybody in the world. I'll give you a wee bit of a, I'm going to tell you the Bible in like about 5 minutes. Not that you don't have to ever look at it yourself again. There's a few details I'll probably miss. But God, he has expressed all of those things. Remember the verse at the start that says the things in this world speak of the things in the next world. The invisible things of God are clearly seen through the creation of the world. God had a great plan. It's all recorded in the Bible, and it's there for us to read. And he went to a lot of effort, well, albeit speaking a lot of words, because all he had to do was speak and things happened. And he did that, because he has a lot of power and a lot of resources. And he's gone to a great effort ever since, and over the thousands of years, preserving his word and making sure it's there for us, for every generation. And he's inspired thousands to emulate him and to do the things that he did in reaching out to people and giving so that people could understand God's love. God has so much love for us, he gave his only begotten son. You talk about sacrifice. There's not one person here would give up their children for someone that hated you, would you? You wouldn't even give up your children for people that you loved, but God gave up his son for people that hated him and hounded him and persecuted him and eventually nailed him to the cross. Now remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But one of the greatest things, one of the things that nearly destroyed me before I came to Christ, was that one of the greatest things that has affirmed and confirmed my faith in the Bible. I used to want to know what the future held. And I remember starting off in the newspapers reading the stars, the horoscopes. And then I went into the wee books like Prediction, that was cover to cover all about fortune telling and occultism. And it nearly destroyed me. But whenever I asked Christ to save me, I found out that the Bible is full of prophecy. One of the things that confirms it is, like, for a 2,000-year-old book, it's literally coming true on our TVs every day. If I said, is there anybody here that doesn't have a smartphone? Have you got a feature phone? No phone?
Dash phone.
Good for you. You got one of those phones where you lift it up and put a block of code on it?
It's just the old one. It is just a phone.
Good for you. Good for you. Amen. So everybody else can watch movies on their phones, and Andy can't. He'll have to look over somebody's shoulder. Would you believe in Revelation 13 it says that there would be images given life? Would you believe that in the Bible, 2,000 years ago, it spoke of images being given life? That's just crazy. And I used to wonder, what in the world does that mean? I thought, and as I was checking my YouTube on my phone, what does that mean when the Bible says images will be given life? I'm sure how many people watch movies, even on their TVs? Images given life. There's no life in it, but it looks alive. Whenever we read the Gospels, when Jesus spoke of a time whenever we could literally destroy everybody in the face of the world, when you wrote that down in a time when the biggest ranged weapon was a guy with a good right arm and a highly strung bow, you'd have thought, what are you talking about? Kill everybody. That's what the Bible says. There will come a time when if Jesus didn't come back, that no flesh would be saved. Anyone ever heard of Arthur C. Clarke, the science fiction writer? What's he supposed to be the inventor of? Isn't it the Global Communications?
Star Wars Defense Initiative?
No, I think that was on the right.
Yeah.
This was a bit before that. But he was supposed to be the founder of the Global Communications Network, the Outer Space Global Communications Network. And that is even mentioned in the Bible where it says when God comes back, every eye will see him. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be in Jerusalem looking up at the sky like that. But they'll be doing exactly what they do now, with their faces stuck on their phones, watching this breaking news, without using a global communications network to see Jesus coming back. It's mentioned in the Bible. It also talks about the state of the world that we're in right now. And I know it's in a sorry state. Anything I say here tonight is not going to improve the cost of filling up your car or heating your house this winter. Unless, of course, you listen to me and get some free pallets and a wood burner in your living room. But Bible said things were going to get a bit dicey. And I've mentioned many a times here, I've been here 25 years, my goodness, behind the pulpit for 20. And I've mentioned many times where it says in the Bible about the awful things that's going to happen in the world. And we sat here in Northern Ireland, the most conservative place in the world, and spoke about the awful things that were happening in the rest of the world. The awful persecution of Christians. The awful tyranny of many governments. The diseases and the famines that were everywhere. And we thought, see the rest of the world, see how that's happening everywhere. That's a sign that Jesus is coming back. And you know what? I don't think that we here in Northern Ireland were ready for that to land in our own front doors. And it has. it's coming. The Lord said, look out for those things. And it's happening. He also said to look out for days when things are completely back to front. Way back in Isaiah, so that's about 4,000 years ago. Men called good evil and evil good. And now we live in days when actually men have different pronouns and women have different pronouns, and men don't know if they're men or women, and women don't know if they're women or men. That children rule homes and parents want to rediscover their childhood. We live in those days. We live in days when whenever you encourage people to be the best that they can be, to be mindful of this God that watches you because he loves you so much, but records your thoughts and your deeds, and even your words, you would think people would smarten themselves up and behave themselves as something you're going to have to answer for them. But we live in days when people wouldn't even consider that. And as a result of which, the world is in an awful place. We live in the days when the guys behind the pulpit are not toeing the line and reminding people that they have immortal souls that God loves. And should this body of yours stop, you will live forever. But where that is entirely up to you. You will live forever in hell and the lake of fire. Or you will live forever in heaven with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, and all of the people that trusted him before them. Preachers won't tell you that because that offends some people. How can a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't. God will honor your decision in this life and the endless ages of eternity. And if you ask him to be your savior, he will save you now and keep you through the endless ages of eternity. If you reject him now, well, you're not going to heaven and there's only one other place. He will honor that decision. But he wants everybody in heaven with him. And that's why he gives us all of these things. And but a sign of the times is that people don't want to be reminded. I know we have a grand spread of ages here. Some of us are not even... What age are you now, Samuel?
14.
14, my goodness.
Mina?
16. Ooh, Frank? 21. And then I think after that we have to skip a decade or two. I'm not going to point at the people and ask who's... Well, we've got... anyway. Some of us remember the days when we went to school and we sang hymns. Remember that? And we had a wee Bible reading before school. And even lost folks, even folks that weren't Christians, that weren't Bible thumpers, still knew there was a God. Ten Commandments was up in many different places. And even people that weren't churchgoers had respect for the scriptures. For God, but now they don't. Because that has been effectively removed from our society. We have a picture of our society in the Bible too. Jesus said it's going to get that bad that people will make fun of the scriptures. And they will persecute those people that stand for them. Goodness, that's the days that we live in. That's the days that we live in. But you know what? And you can find all of those things. Did you know Google was in the Bible? Did you know that? In the book of Daniel it says, there'll come a day when knowledge is greatly increased and men travel to and fro across the earth. I'm not saying you do it unless you want a black van parking outside your house. But you can probably Google how to make a tactical nuclear device and it'll show you. The difficult part might be getting some plastic explosives and a couple of kilos of uranium, but you can Google that. They taught us that the first year in university. They said, welcome to Physics 101, here's how you build a nuclear bomb. And that piqued our attention for a lesson or two. You can do that. Is there anything you're missing? How many times have we checked YouTube on how to fix one of those pistons on the boot of your car? How to change the links in your watch? We live in the days when knowledge is greatly increased, but I'm afraid wisdom is sorely lacking. And these are the days that we're spoken of. It is crazy to see those things in a book where the last full stop was put on over 2,000 years ago. But it's one of those things that confirms my faith in the Bible as the Word of God and imparts a little bit of urgency to me whenever I speak very, very plainly about God and His love for us and His great sacrifice for us. But all of these things, it's a bit like Bethel. You might notice those walls look a bit different. And there's a new front door. Well, it's the same windows. If you were driving past. If you were really observant, you might see the new gutter, and we forgot about that on the way in. In the front and back, it actually uses the proper size of gutter instead of the wee garden shed gutter. The water used to come down over the top of it. You might notice those things from the outside, but you will only get the full benefit of all of the work whenever you come in. When you take part. Then you can get the benefit of the heating, the LED lights. Would you believe those 15, 16 lights only use as much power as two of the original light bulbs that went into it? Would you believe that? That's crazy. You'll only get the benefit of those when you come in. You only get the benefit of the preaching, if you want to call it that, when you come in and make yourself at home. And you will only get the benefit of all the things that God has prepared for anybody that will turn up whenever you invite Him in, when you make space in your heart, repenting of your sins, and trust in Him and Him alone as your Savior. You will only receive His benefit. Now a lot of people think, and I'm nearly done, well, I have never come across any benefits. Every time I come to church, they rob me and talk about me and then shake my hand on the way out the door. Isn't that what it is? It's always about the money. And then they talk about all the bad things that I do. There is an element of that. But God has many helps. You might have noticed my notes. Lynn gets a copy as well. She keeps me right. I look at them a few times, but one of the promises that God gives is that whenever you're on the spot, He'll give you the words to speak. I lean on that all the time whenever I stand up and open my mouth. Whenever I go out and use the megaphone or at a door, I depend upon God putting the words in my mouth. And guess what He does? He puts the words in my mouth. I'm sure many of you would say, I don't know if God could actually find any room to put the words in your mouth. You could nearly speak for Ireland anyway, but nah. I have come across too that peace that passeth all understanding. You know the stuff that people pound up and down the pavements. If I run another mile and I get my heart rate up to 150, I'll live for another 10 years. That doesn't produce peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Putting in your time in this world, trying to forget about eternal things. That only puts the day off. God's plan is that you deal with those things now, so that you don't have to worry about them for the rest of your life. The promise of God gives us that you trust Him as Savior. You can never be unsaved, and nobody can take that away from you. That's for you right now. Because that means you're not doing the best that you can to pay your way to heaven. That means you're just enjoying the ride. You're on your way to heaven. And you're just doing what God asks you to do. Things are so much better in the new building. Honestly. Whoever hasn't been here, you can't say that. But I'm going to put my reputation, Norman's reputation on the line here. Are things much better in the new building? Yeah?
Aye.
I think they are, too. I have to tip my hat to Norm.
It's not as much.
That's all you paint and plaster do. Bible says, if you invite Christ into your life and you accept him as your Savior, you become a new creature and all things become new and old things are passed away. And that's God's promise to anybody and everybody that will come. Thank you. I appreciate your patience. I know I'm not the most eloquent of speakers. I'm sure, certainly a copious speaker, not necessarily an eloquent speaker. But thank you for bearing with me. We're not done. We're going to sing a song. We're going to say a prayer. And then there's trays and trays of food to be eaten. So please stick around for a wee cup of tea, sandwiches, cakes, buns, and stuff. Right, I have to find another order of service. There it is there. And if you'd like to turn to the back of it, there's, I'm going to say it's an old favourite, but it goes along with God's great promises. When the roll is called up yonder, if you're fit, let's stand up and we will sing a wee song. Hymn number 50. When the roll is called up yonder, not hymn number 55, does that really matter? Do you have a hymn book? Let's stand as we sing. I learned a very valuable lesson in Desmond's many years ago. Why they send you to hotels instead of having training courses in the belt, because you're plagued with telephone calls and people want it. But when you're in a hotel, nobody knows where you are. This was before phone. This is our little hotel, aside from the world, for a half an hour or an hour, or as long as you want to be here. Take advantage of it. Don't worry about what's going on in the outside world. And we're very glad to have you. And you're all very welcome. Thank you again. I very much appreciate you being here. This is the start of, I was going to say, a new era, but the same old era with a bit more modernisation about it. And I'm glad you were here to take part in it. So let's close our eyes and we'll have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wee bit of time. Thank you for all the work that's been done and the tiny little pieces that nobody ever knew about that still have to be done. Please bless our food and our fellowship. And Lord, this time aside from the world. We love you and praise you. And we just pray that you go with each one of us as we go safely home. Love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.